You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'm holding my hand, my little mobile device. It's an iTouch. It's kind of like the iPhone without the phone, or a little iPad. Think of it that way. And the Issues Etc. iPhone app works on this device as well as on the iPhone and the iPad. We also have an Android app as well, but from the Issues Etc. iPhone app, I can connect with the show. That means I can listen to the podcast. I can listen live during the live broadcast hours of the show. I can email the show just by tapping one of the little icons. I can call the show. If this thing had a phone, it would call the show with the number already in there. So I can interact with Issues Etc. right there in the palm of my hand, live or on demand, anytime I want with the Issues Etc. iPhone app. And the Android app has similar functionality, as they say. And we already have almost 1,000 downloads of the new Issues Etc. iPhone app and more than 200 downloads of the Issues Etc. Android app. You can download it absolutely free at our website, issuesetc.org. It's right there on the homepage, issuesetc.org. Take Issues Etc. with you in the palm of your hand. Terry Mattingly joins us for the next few minutes. We're going to talk about the faith of U2's lead singer, Bono, which today is well known. It's one of the things for which he is actually famous, although he is certain to point out that he is not a Christian rock artist or a Christian performer. He is a rock artist who is struggling to be a Christian. But when did this story first break? Terry Mattingly had a hand in it. He joins us to talk about that. Terry is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
Terry, how did you kind of break the story? Years ago, we got to go back sometime to your Cub Reporter days, I believe. How did you break the story on Bono's Christian faith?
Well, for starters, I didn't know I had broken anything. In fact, to some degree, I didn't find out until just about, 3 to 4 years ago that my interview with Bono, I knew it was an early interview with him about his faith, but I didn't know until this voluminous reference book called U2, A Diary came out. I didn't realize that, as far as I can tell in its references, this was the first interview anywhere in the mainstream press in which Bono and had talked about his faith. Now, the band had actually even played a Christian rock festival in England, and obviously people had talked about this, but it had not filtered over into the mainstream press on this side of the Atlantic. And as far as I can tell, it had never reached the mainstream press, you know, in the UK as well. And that may sound hard, you know, for some people to accept, or that it may sound unbelievable, but at some point you have to remember that U2 started off as, you know, a very, very small and obscure band, kind of coming out of the punk and post-punk era. They had a hit on their first album in England. It was a very minor hit in America called I Will Follow. And behind the scenes, some very interesting things were happening. I mean, the band actually formed in what would amount to an evangelical Anglican high school, and in fact, the chaplain at that high school remains close to the band to this day. It had started off, you know, as a band that surrounded the only guy who could play his instrument, which was drummer Larry Mullen, the youngest member of the band, and it grew into U2. So it was kind of a minor hit band, and in the midst of it, out comes this second record, of which, called October, of which there are very many famous stories. But suffice it to say, the blatant religious content of the record freaked out Island Records. And there was no lyric sheet inside the album. And there were all kinds of rumors about this band and about its Christian affiliation of several members of the band, not all. And I picked up wind of that once I had explored the lyrics on the album. To make a long story short, and I told this story again in my column this week for Scripps Howard, because the 30th anniversary of that encounter was last week. It's one of those things, one of those signposts on the road that makes you really realize how far down the road we are, you know, at this point in time. That was in February of 1982. The local record store in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, a very famous co-op called the Record Service. I was in there one day, and since I wrote about rock music for the local newspaper, the News Gazette in Champaign-Urbana, they asked me, do you know anything about this band? And I said no, and they went, well, listen to this song. The first verse of the song Gloria ends with Bono going into Latin. It's very obviously religious, especially when you plug in the meaning of the Latin words, which are fragments of a mass. And hearing the Latin, I went, what in the world is this all about? And in the pre-internet age, it was a little bit harder to research these sorts of things. So for starters, I ran down to the Catholic Studies Department, where I was actually studying that semester, and ended up at the Newman Club, where a young priest helped me get the right words lined up with the Latin. And then listening to the rest of the album very carefully, it became apparent to me that something was going on here. At which point, since the band was coming to town to play the old auditorium on the Quad in the heart of the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, or Urbana-Champaign, actually, the name of the university, I went to the record label by phone and asked for an interview with Bono, who was the spokesman for the band at that stage, which produces the column and produces a second column about U2. I wrote one based on the rumors and all the research I could do and the lyrics themselves. And then after actually interviewing Bono and meeting the band and hearing the concert, I wrote a second column, which ran on March 5th, 1982. And that's the column that is referenced in U2, A Diary, as apparently the first time they talked about their faith publicly in public media.
Well, that's amazing in and of itself. Am I right, did you actually try and pitch one of these stories to Rolling Stone?
Yeah, well, I took the contents of that and called up Rolling Stone and tried to pitch them a story, because the band had received very good reviews on the first album. And then the second album, everybody listened to it and kind of went, what the heck is this? And there's a very interesting story for why the second album was as blunt and as frank as it was. And it's a story with two parts, which I can cover pretty quickly. One is that the band, their faith had become much more explicit in the time between the first album and the second album. And the charismatic house church in which they were worshiping actually told the band that you couldn't be a Christian and a rock star at the same time. So members of their fellowship tried to break the band up. All of this has been covered in books such as Unforgettable Fire, you know, and other things. And this fellowship tried to get them to break the band up. And Bono and Edge and others considered doing that and eventually decided, no, they should stay and continue doing what they were doing, that it was perfectly okay to work in mainstream music and struggle with your own Christianity in that context. The second thing that happened quite memorably was that while on tour before the recording of the second album, something happened. Either it was stolen or it was misplaced. Bono lost his shoulder bag or backpack that contained the notebook in which he was writing the lyrics for the album. And they ended up, of course, this being a young band with almost no budget. And, I mean, Bono is 20 years old at this point. I mean, the drummer's 19, if I remember correctly. He might have even been 18 at that stage. They had a very limited number of days to record their second album. And Bono, in what he later described as kind of just an act of charismatic Christian trust, literally got in the studio and made the words to the album up on the microphone as he sang along to the backing, to the other instruments. He improvised the lyrics. And because of that, he ended up being much more open and blunt about his religious belief and his Christian faith in the lyrics than the record company ever expected that he would. So you have this very cathartic studio experience, and then off they go onto the road back to America to try to promote an album that the record company is even sure they want promoted to some degree. And they're not supposed to be talking about this a lot, But when I got into the interviews, you know, with Bono, I kept asking questions about the lyrics. And eventually, at some point, he just said, well, I mean, this is a reflection of the fact that I'm a Christian. And then the interview went from there.
And how did Rolling Stone react to your pitch?
Well, I mean, first of all, they didn't think U2 was that big a band. They weren't sure that this was that big a deal. And second, I got the impression that they just didn't believe me. You know, that they didn't believe that, you know, that the head of, you know, the singer and the guitarist, I'd also talked to Edge by that point, of this kind of a hip, you know, post-punk rising band, I don't think they really believed that, you know, they could be Christians, let alone, you know, guys that after their show, after, you know, like virtually burning the auditorium down with the intensity of their show, they retire for orange juice and Bible study. And although I'm sure Irish Christians retire to things other than orange juice, you know, as Bono is infamous for doing, you know, in the rest of his adult life, it was certainly not your normal post-concert scene.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. And he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. We're talking with him now and for the next 10 minutes of the program to round off this hour about the faith of U2's lead singer, Bono. Now, he is and the band has become, I think, arguably one of the top five 20th century bands. And the hits keep coming, literally keep coming. How in the world over those 30 years, I remember back when we used to call them a crossover band, even though they were never a Christian band, we considered them kind of this no man's land between secular music and Christian music. We considered them this kind of hybrid that somehow was going on to global rock stardom and still remaining Christians. We'll talk with Terry about that after this. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the faith of U2's lead singer, Bono. Terry Mattingly is our guest. He writes a weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. Terry, the first time I heard the term U2 was probably late high school. This would have been the very early 80s. And then by the time I got to college, it was a Christian college. Everyone was listening to you too. The term we were using was crossover, although everyone recognized at the time that they never really were a Christian band that became a secular band. They were something in between, this kind of no man's land between. Talk about how they rose to be arguably one of the top five bands in the 20th century while maintaining a Christian identity.
Well, I think that now when you start creating the pantheon of rock bands, these guys are at this point in the top five. Just stop and think about it. They will have had hits in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the aughts, and I'm sure with their next album, they will have had hit singles in five decades at this point, in Britain at least, on the British charts. I personally think of them as the band I compare them to. In fact, Bono and I discussed this. The band I compare them to the most is The Who. I mean, in terms of attempting to do serious content over a protracted period of time about subject material that allows you to grow up and grow old. The Who said, Townsend said, I hope I don't die before I get old, but he's old now and he's still writing pretty good material. That's the sort of ambition that you two had even when I first met them when they were 20. The issue of whether or not, well, first of all, they are not a Christian band. Bono was explicit about that repeatedly. The first time I interviewed him and then Edge and then in talking to them the day of their concert and then after their concert, the way Bono put it, in not in the original interview but in the next day, he expressed it that, we are not Christian musicians. I am a Christian who is I'm a musician who is struggling to be a Christian. Now, that's a kind of wording that you would not have heard at that point being voiced by Christians in the music industry. While everybody is arguing about, Christian musician, did Sandy Patty fall into sin when they added drums to her music, or did Amy Grant sell out by hugging someone other than her husband in a music video? Instead of all of those arguments, which we're so familiar with in the world of CCM, along comes a guy that just says, I'm not a Christian musician. I'm a musician in a band that wants to be the best band in the world, and we are struggling to make sense of our Christianity in that context. And so then, from there on out, along the way, you have this music, which is about a wide array of topics, and in it, you have obvious evidence that they're seeing the world through a Christian lens. With my students, an example of that, and the debate that continues to rage about the band, I'm sure there are many of your listeners at this point who are still not sure they consider you two to be, quote, Christian or not, because they disagree with Bono for his language, his occasional image of, with a cigar and a beer in one hand, which is more common for Christians in Ireland than it would be in, say, Birmingham, Alabama, or Atlanta, or especially evangelicals. Maybe they disagree with his politics. Maybe they disagree with, pronouncements he's made. And in CCM, see, you're supposed to agree with these musicians. In the midst of all that, Bono has just plunged on through it all, trying to write the best music he can, and his faith is kind of there latent in it. The example I like to give is from the era of a concert tour called Zoo TV, in which Bono actually performed the final third of the show while dressed as Satan. Mr. McFeastio would come out. It's basically if Satan turned into a Las Vegas lounge singer who looked like Elvis but with horns, gold lamé suit, the whole bit. He came out and would do the last third of the show dressed like that. Well, during one of these shows, he, as he always did, snatched a young woman up out of the audience to dance around with her on stage while the band roared on, with the number they were performing. In one of these, we know all this happened because the young woman gave an interview afterwards. This young woman whispered in Bono's ear as they're dancing around in the midst of the loud music and said, "What is this I hear about you being a Christian?" And Bono said back to her, well, yes, I am. And she said, then what are you doing? You know, what are you doing up here on this stage dressed as Satan and all this? And Bono's response, she said, was, are you familiar with C.S. Lewis? And she said, yes, I am. And he said, are you familiar with the Screwtape Letters? And she said, yes, I am. And he said, that's what I'm doing. And even in a video from that era, from one of the songs from the Octung Baby album, there's a place where Mr. McFistio is running across a road and something falls out of his pocket. And he stops and turns around to pick it back up. And the camera in this cartoonish video zooms in. And you can see that what he's picking up from the middle of the street is a copy of the Screwtape Letters. And then he runs on. So they do these sorts of clues and puzzles and games and kind of artistic Christian references in their music, while there is this entire other audience of Christian music performers and listeners that want everything to be explicit, evangelistic, and or worship music. And that's just not of interest, you know, to the guys in U2.
I have been a fan of the band for a long time, and to me it just seems they're doing what comes natural to Christians. They're playing good music. Their language will be filtered through and be peppered with religious references because they're religious men. It's that simple. I've likened them to kind of the J.R.R. Tolkien of rock and roll. I mean, he wrote great novels, and the Christian themes in there are unmistakable, but he didn't set out to write a novel laced with Christian themes. He set out to write a great story. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good comparison. At the same time, I disagree with you that I think Christians are ordinarily good at this. I think very few Christians are good at actually writing for public media at the standards of public media, let alone to the highest conceivable standards of public media.
We agree there. We agree there.
I don't think many Christians are good at that. And I think that's because Bono didn't set out to write according to the standards of the so-called Christian music industry. In fact, he explicitly told me that he thought it would be presumptive and even sinful to use the word Christian to market his music. Now stop and think about that for a second. In other words, he said, how could a person as sinful and fallen as I am, now this is a 20-year-old guy talking to this, how could someone as sinful and fallen as I am dare to use the word Christian to describe my music? I think that's something that should be sobering to a lot of people involved in a lot of culture creation roles in which they use the word Christian to describe what they're doing. I think it's pretty sobering.
With only a minute here, Terry, do you think that what appeals broadly about U2's music is that they consistently present that very realistic, not this sandy patty, everything's flowers and roses, but a realistic picture of men struggling to be Christian?
Well, I think, first of all, they present a picture of the ordinary struggles of life, whether that's Christian or non-Christian or whatever. When you look at a song like Bad, you know, which wrestles with drug addiction and sin, even though Bono's writing about the experiences of friends, when you look at a song like Vertigo, you know, with a married man walking into a bar and feeling the temptations of being in a bar scene, they're writing songs that people identify with or enjoy hearing about, yet then, with the credibility they've earned, he can turn around, like as he did on the tremendous album All That You Can't Leave Behind, and deal with things like the death of his own father and aging and what he wants to leave behind for his own four children and his wife. He can deal with those kinds of subjects as well. And I think that is simply because they're striving for greatness, because that's what they believe God wants them to do.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Very glad to be here.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. John Collins of Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis about creation's account and Near Eastern religions. Did the ancient Israelites just borrow their creation beliefs from their pagan neighbors? We'll find out tomorrow from Dr. Collins. On Friday, we'll discuss American evangelicals and birth control with Dr. Alan Carlson of the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society. Then Monday on Issues Etc., we'll study the Lenten hymn, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth, with Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. I think it's a good example to be followed in whatever your vocation may be. You go forth doing your vocation. In the case of Bono, it's going to be rock superstar. And you are the rock superstar fulfilling that vocation while at the same time struggling to be a Christian, living that life of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. You don't have to be a Christian barber or a Christian bus driver or a Christian doctor or lawyer. Be a lawyer, bus driver, doctor, who's also a Christian. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.